I would like for you to consider some things this afternoon on the subject of God's providence. Now, when I say that, I mean simply God working with us in the world to see that His will is done in the kingdom of men. Now, on the earth, many people sometimes doubt the presence of God, or if they do not openly doubt it, then at least they wonder, well, how can I get closer to God? The attempt to get closer to God is seen, as it is expressed in, you know, many different congregations that we find round about us. They will do things like, have a big to-do where they get all excited and they have an emotional experience in their worship services, and they say, aha, here you have the presence of God. This must be the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Or you find them where they get into a very deep and contemplative way, and they look for some kind of experience from God in life. And if they're walking out, you know, and they're meditating on things, and they happen to see a very bright light, then they assume that this is God sending a message to them. And they go with that assumption, and they report it to those at church, and they say, I've had an experience with the Lord, and therefore I know that God has come upon me in His miraculous salvation. There are many different similar examples that you may find in people's lives. However, all kinds of experiences may be reported, but when it comes to actually knowing that God is on our side or working in this world, then the assurance is given in God's Word and not necessarily among men. Men may misinterpret exactly what is happening with them, but God will tell us exactly what He is doing and is willing to do if you just consult His Word. The trust that people put within themselves is nothing compared with the trust that we can put in what God has divinely revealed. Therefore, each one of us should take comfort in exactly how it is that God says He works in the world, and when God says He actually gives us those things that are described as supernatural. For example, many people may wonder, well, how do I know when God has forgiven me? That's a perfectly good question. You know it because when God says that He has forgiven you, He cannot lie, and it has actually happened. So, if the Lord says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Therefore, if I actually do what God said to do for the forgiveness of sins, then I know that I have been forgiven. It's pretty much as simple as that. Oh, but somebody says, I want to have an emotional experience. I want to know it in an existential sort of way. What they mean by that is they want to actually feel that they have been forgiven. Well, oftentimes, feelings of being forgiven are experienced by people, but even in Bible times, the feelings follow the obedience, because then they were assured by God in words, therefore then they would get, the appropriate feeling as time went on, or sometimes perhaps even immediately. If you read in the Bible, you find that people believed on the gospel, they obeyed the gospel, and then the Bible would say that they rejoiced. You can read this repeatedly in the book of Acts. Just look at the examples of conversion yourself and see if what I'm saying is true. Also, sometimes if people are looking for a manifestation of God's presence, well, I want to feel or I want to know that God cares for me beyond what He said. I want Him to actually do something openly. This is actually calling into question the way in which God can work in the world. Do you believe that the only way that God has in order to supernaturally affect things is for Him to cause different miracles to occur? Is for Him to cause a warm, fuzzy feeling to dwell up inside of you? Well, when has God ever caused a warm, fuzzy feeling to well up inside of someone? Oh, you say, but He did some miracles in Bible days. Oh, yes, but that isn't the only way and the only time that God was working in Bible days. I draw to your attention now the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, there was a problem in that there was a wicked man by the name of Haman, and oh, he was wicked. He wanted to go out there and to destroy the Jews in any way that he could. Just destruction for the Jews is just about all he had on his mind, and his personal advancement before the king and his destruction of every single Jew because they didn't want to follow after the exact way that Haman was, and they didn't want to do everything the way Haman wanted it to be done. Well, that's all that he cared about. Especially, he wanted to destroy one Jew that he just really loathed, and that is a Jew by the name of Mordecai. Well, Mordecai, as it turns out, was related to Esther the queen. Now, this queen, Esther, she knew, being a Jew as well, that Haman wanted to kill the Jews, And she was very worried because, you know, she's not the king, she's just the queen. So what can she do? And she was especially worried because if she goes in there to the king and tries to plead for her people, well, I mean, the king hasn't even called her. And they had a rule back then that if the king hasn't called you and you appear before him, why, if he doesn't in mercy hold out his scepter to you, then you're going to die because you just don't come into the presence of the king without being called. And so this was very worrisome unto Esther. And so she spoke to Mordecai about this kind of problem that she had. And here's the conversation, and here's the kind of situation that developed between them and between that wicked old Haman that wanted to get her and all the Jews killed. It goes on to say that the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whoever, man or woman, shall come into the king and to the inner court, Esther said, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such as to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai the Jew commanded to answer Esther. Here's what he told to the queen. Do not think with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement, that is, help and deliverance, arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Oh, that verse 14 of Esther chapter 4 is so rich. Study on it yourself. Because what this Bible passage is telling us is that without any kind of what we would call Bible miracle today, God is working among men. And it could be, Mordecai is pointing out to Esther, that God has put you in a position as queen to help us out, and you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. And so God was working behind the scenes in his providence, even though the word God is never even mentioned anywhere in the book of Esther. Isn't that something? And yet, God is working there in that book just the same. You do not have to have God make some sort of miraculous appearance, God to give you some sort of miraculous vision, God to give you one of the miraculous gifts that are mentioned in the Bible days in order for you to know that you're forgiven by him. You simply need the promise of God. And if you have the faith to believe that what God says is actually true, then you know that God is actually working behind the scenes, so to speak, to forgive you and will supernaturally take away all of your sins. This is the work of God. If you actually do those things that God said to do for forgiveness of sins, for example, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you do those things, then God actually forgives the sins because he has promised it. Those who believe and are baptized shall be saved, he says. Now, if God has promised it, then we simply believe it and accept it. Because back in Esther's day, they didn't actually have some kind of big miracle going on in front of them. But Mordecai assured Esther, if you will help the Jews, your fellow countrymen, if you will do what you can for them, then it may be that you're in the kingdom for such a time as this. And so then she did just exactly what she was supposed to. They first of all went on a fast, which was a time of prayer and a time of meditation, getting ready to do some great deed. And then she actually went into the presence of the king. The king did not have her killed. He held out his scepter to her, and she was able to plead for her people. And therefore, she could help the Jews. Now, Mordecai said, if you don't help the Jews, then in some other way, God is going to deliver them. He didn't use the word God, but that's who he's talking about. Because he said, deliverance shall arise to the Jews from another place. And this is because he was a Jew of great faith. But Esther was in the right place at the right time. She was the one that God would use to help his people, and therefore they were delivered according to the plan of God and according to the work that Esther and Mordecai were doing in order to save their people. God can do whatever God wants to do, and he desires to bless you and to keep you in his grace. But you have to recognize that God works according to his promises, and he doesn't have to do something miraculously in order for you to know that it's been done. Have you believed and obeyed the gospel? If so, then take heart. God has saved you from your sins, and He doesn't have to have some sort of big miraculous event to appear before your eyes in order for you to know that that's the case. And if there's any way that we can help give you assurance of God's promises or study with you about just exactly what those promises are, then we want to get with you and to help you in any way that we can from the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. And if there is any way that you can be assisted by listening to this radio program, then we encourage you to please do so. Not just our daily program here, but also on the weekends at 8:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We invite you to come on out and see us and to keep on listening. And we thank you so much for doing that. For the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, I'm Tim McHenry.